Todd Zielecki joins us now. He's a Phillies beat writer at MLB.com and also the author of Doc, The Life of Roy Halladay, a terrific book on the great former Phillies and Blue Jays pitcher. Todd, thanks very much for joining us. Great to have you on the show. Hope you and yours are safe and well. And while the Blue Jays have started to slip here but have a comfortable hold on a playoff spot, the Phillies got to like the way this series and the last little while is going as they're trying to maintain their spot in the postseason as well. What are the expectations for the 2020 Phillies?
Well, the expectations for the 2020 Phillies, even before they expanded to the postseason to 8 teams, was make the playoffs. You know, they fired Gabe Kapler after last season. They're out of a rebuild, and they have the highest payroll in franchise history. And, you know, you added Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, Zach Wheeler, Jake Arrieta, et cetera. It's postseason or bust. You know, the Phillies have not been to the postseason since 2011. And, you know, you mentioned how the Blue Jays are struggling right now. Up until really yesterday when they swept that doubleheader, the Phillies have been struggling quite a bit. And, you know, they were a loss or two out from falling out of that 18 field, which just seems unfathomable considering, you know, how talented they are.
So, you know, looking at, I guess, the weak point of the Phillies has got to be that bullpen, right? It's just been, it's been rough. There's no getting around it. I know they made some moves to bring in a couple of guys to try and fortify it a bit, but nothing seems to be working. And at this point, what buttons can Joe Girardi push to, I guess, get better results? Or is it just a case of all these guys just haven't been pitching well, and until they do, or at least pitching a little bit better, the Phillies, any lead the Phillies have in the late innings is just not going to be safe?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, Joe has tried Brandon Workman as closer. He's brought back Hector Neris to be the closer. But it's not really even just the closer, like you said. It's the entire bullpen. They added four relief pitchers. David Phelps, who came over from the Brewers, was pitching incredibly well with the Brewers. And in his last six appearances now, though, he's given up like five home runs. And so Brandon Workman has struggled. Heath Hembree from the Red Sox, he's struggled. And I haven't checked the number in the last day or two, but there was, as of a couple days ago, the bullpen's actually been performing worse than they were before the trade deadline, which is really hard to believe because before the trade deadline, they were so desperate they made three trades to bring in four different relief pitchers. And that is the thing that's just been killing this team. I mean, you know, the Phillies' offense has been really good. The rotation has been pretty good. But then to lose all of these games late, it's just so demoralizing. And you can see the frustration kind of on the faces of a lot of these players as they continue to lose games, specifically guys like Bryce Harper. You know, he's sitting there going, what more can we possibly do? We're fifth in the league. We're fifth in baseball, sixth in baseball in runs per game, and we're not even 500, or we're just a game over 500.
Well, that's indeed the case. If you don't have pitching, you're going to have difficulties, and that frustration is definitely evident. That's where, you know, Elfin coming in and pitching a complete game, and if granted a seven-inning doubleheader, has got to help. And I guess this is just an ongoing thing. It's not just Phillies or Blue Jays, but, you know, you see it all the time now, Todd. And I know you wrote a book on Doc Halladay, a guy you had to rip the baseball out of his hand to get him off the mound, and that's a Hall of Famer, but pitching deep into games. And I guess one of the things that happens, not just with the Phillies and with the Jays, if your starter can no longer get past 82 pitches or the third time in the order, you're going to have to depend on the bullpen too much. And those arms are usually only good when they're really, really fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the fact that it seems like most pitchers nowadays can't even, like you said, like it's almost automatic, like the third before they get the third time through, it's like, okay, let's pull him. Well, even if he's at 75 pitches, even a guy like Zach Wheeler a couple weeks ago for the Phillies, who's been pitching great, and he's actually been pitching deep in a lot of games, you know, Joe Girardi pulled him after 85 pitches a couple weeks ago in New York, and it ended up being a mistake. You know, the days of guys like Roy Halladay and you know, Joe Girardi and whatnot, and, you know, Roy Halladay, you know, those guys, they're just not around anymore. A guy that can pitch efficiently, keep the pitch count down, you know, pitch deep into games, and that's the problem that the Phillies are having. That's what it seems like a lot of teams in baseball are having.
You know, I want to ask you specifically injury-wise. You know, Real Muto's been out for a little while with a hip issue, not going to play the rest of the weekend. Obviously, that's huge because he's so vital to them. Hoskins is on the IL with, you know, what could be eventually Tommy John surgery. I guess kind of updates on their statuses and, you know, what's the likelihood that one or both will be able to be big-time contributors if they make it to the postseason?
You know, Real Muto, they're hoping that he can be back as early as Monday, and that's kind of the best-case scenario. He hasn't played since last Saturday in Miami. Bryce Harper, Rhys Hoskins as well has not played since last Saturday in Miami, and you mentioned, you know, Rhys has this. He might need Tommy John surgery after the season. So what they're hoping with Rhys Hoskins is that maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday, he can try to swing a bat. If it goes well, then maybe he can come back and play in these final four games of the season. You know, Shohei Ohtani, a couple years ago, he suffered a similar injury. He came back that season, won AL Rookie of the Year with the Angels. But the difference there is that he missed 26 days and came back. You know, he needed like a little bit more than 3 weeks to pit, to before he could hit again. Rhys has 10 days, you know, maybe 14 days if they make the playoffs. So his window to recover is a heck of a lot smaller.
Well, indeed. Talk to us about Bryce Harper, and you already alluded to a little bit the frustration. This team can hit the baseball, but the bullpen has let them down, and the expectation to win and spending money in the high payroll. Well, a lot of that high payroll is obviously the enormous contract of Bryce Harper coming over from Washington, the success they've had. It's a couple of seasons removed from all of that, but how do you see him on a more regular basis? How is he feeling about all this?
You know, I think, you know, he came to Philly certainly because he got the $330 million. You know, and I think, you know, he came here to win. He wants to win here. I think there's probably some frustration on his part right now because the team is not doing necessarily probably what it should be doing, which is winning more baseball games. But he has played pretty well. You know, he was the first 3-4 weeks of the season, he was incredible. And then he went into this 3-week slump. And then over the last 10 days, you know, particularly these last two games here against the Blue Jays, he's been just hitting the cover off the ball. You know, right now, Phillies fans like what he's done. I think he's happy here, you know, with the signing. But again, you know, I think there's going to be some frustration if they would somehow fall out of this playoff picture. And I don't think that he would admit it, but the fact that the Nationals won the World Series last year, the year after he leaves, and listen, it's not like they were better without Bryce Harper. It just happened to work out that way. But I think that is something that, you know, he doesn't want to finish his career not winning a World Series after the year he leaves Washington, the Nationals win one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I totally forgot that was the case, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I want to ask you about Alec Bohm, he was a highly touted prospect, and you never know bringing prospects up how it's going to go, but his hit tool looks incredible, power to all parts of the field, looks like a mainstay in that lineup for a long time to come. Is there surprise that he's been so good right out of the gates?
Yeah, I think to the extent of how successful he actually has been. Like I just looked up these numbers a few minutes ago. He is, I think, 10th in baseball in hits since he came up on August 13th. He's like top 30 in RBIs. He's top 10 in doubles. You know, he's top 25 in batting average, and he already has a walk-off sacrifice fly. He has a walk-off hit. He's really exceeded expectations. He's hitting over 450 with runners in scoring position. So he's been incredible. Now, the good thing for Blue Jays fans is he is not in the lineup tonight. He's under the weather. And now because of all the COVID stuff, right, if you show any symptoms, you can't play. You can't be at the ballpark. So I don't even think he's going to be at the ballpark tonight. Or if he is at the ballpark, he's definitely not in the starting lineup, which again, if you're a Blue Jays fan, is good news because he's really been super, super clutch in big moments.
Interesting. Todd Zielecki is with us. He's the Phillies beat writer, MLB.com, also the author of Doc the life of Roy Halladay. And we got a couple of minutes, Todd. I wanted to ask you about that great book that you penned. And, of course, here in Toronto, we're big fans of Roy Halladay. And I can only imagine, I've written a couple of books myself, but I've done sports biographies, but I can only imagine how difficult it must be, first, in such a painful situation, number one, of course, of how Roy lost his life. And then number two, when the subject of the book is no longer around and you're doing it through other people, just talk to us about the process and the work that was involved in bringing that book to life. And a great job, by the way.
Thank you very much. You know, it was really tough. The subject matter, of course, like Roy had a great baseball story, and you know, the way that he passed away and the circumstances surrounding it made it a very tough book to write. What I did is I basically combed through every Roy Halladay story I could find from his entire career and tried to comb through any details that he had about his pitching philosophies, about his life, about his thoughts on certain games and pressures that he faced, et cetera. Then I just talked to a ton of people. I talked to over 100 different people for this book. A lot of his old catchers with the Blue Jays and, you know, former GMs with the Blue Jays and coaches and managers with the Blue Jays, as well as Phillies people and competitors and whatnot, and tried to paint the best picture that I could of Roy and what he was like as possible, including, you know, I talked with Roy's widow, Brandy, and other family members. And, you know, I'm happy with how it turned out. You know, the reaction has been very nice. And, you know, I think I tried to do his story justice.
Well, you did. Absolutely. Yeah, no question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any Blue Jays fan, you know, would be wise to read the book. Any Roy Halladay fan, obviously, would be wise to read it, because, you know, obviously, with everything that happened, you know, it's just such a haunting look back at the life that he led and, you know, how everything came to be on that fateful day a couple of years ago. And it's just, you know, watching videos, reading books, you know, the E60 that ESPN did a couple of months ago. It's kind of incredible to me that Roy was able to have so much success pitching, dealing with some of the demons that he was dealing off of the field. You know, what was that, I guess, aspect of the book and that research like for you?
Yeah, that was the most interesting thing, because if you kind of go back and read through a lot of his interviews early in his career with the Blue Jays, you know, he talked a lot about pressure and, you know, there's even a time early in 2001 or in 2002, when he had come back from being demoted all the way down to A ball, that he said, you know, he used the words like, you know, I'm always fighting those demons. And you know, you kind of hear it at the time, probably. You're like, oh yeah, Roy's like, he feels a lot of pressure and whatnot. But no, he was really struggling with his mental health at times. And you know, he talked a lot about how his self-esteem and self-worth went out the window if, you know, he was walking down the hallway in the clubhouse and the manager saw him and looked the other way, or if he, you know, if he didn't pitch well that day, he just felt like a bad person. And that was something that he always kind of had to battle with and deal with. And once he found the Harvey Dorfman book, The Mental ABCs of Pitching, and started working with Harvey Dorfman, he started to kind of turn that around and figure out what would help him be confident, et cetera. And, you know, so that was a part of the story that I really wanted to tell, because Roy, as you know, like, he talked so much in his life about how important the mental skills side of the game, or just the mental side of the game, was to him. And he came back after his playing career and wanted to become a mental skills coach with the Phillies, which he was on the minor league side. And I thought that was amazing, because you think about how Hall of Famers don't take jobs on a minor league side, you know, with office hours, being a mental skills coach for, you know, rookie ball guys, eight ball guys. But he, because I think he struggled so much in his own life, and he knew that there were so many other people out there struggling like him, he wanted to help them out if he could, which I thought was just a really noble and great thing that he did.
He was definitely an icon, one of a kind, and the book is Doc, The Life of Roy Halladay. The author, Todd Zalecki, Phillies beat writer as well, and MLB.com, joining us to talk about this year's Phillies and some memories of Doc as well. Todd, great stuff. Thanks so much. Enjoy the ball game.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Todd Zalecki, Phillies beat writer at MLB.com. I'm glad the cop was okay with him coming in there. I was getting a little nervous, Josh.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I wasn't sure. It sounded like the cop was not having it at all. You know, sometimes that's the beauty, right, of live talk radio, that